How important is asthma as it pertains to a wide receiver and trying to get through OTAs? We're going to talk about that, as well as Green Bay Packers situation. Two young rookies. Can they push the veterans for playing time? You got Kenny Pickett. He's trying to push Mitchell Trubisky at the quarterback spot with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And who had the best undrafted rookie free agent class? And why is it Philadelphia? Rob Rain joins us today to talk about all that and much more. Let's go. Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I am your host, former NFL and NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And on today's episode, I am joined by my buddy, my guy, Rob Rain. He also covers the Seahawks on this network, the Locked On NFL Network. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day and talk to you a little bit about Blue Nile, how today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with the jewelry from BlueNile.com. Locked On NFL Draft listeners are getting $50 off their purchase of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. All right, use promo code Locked On at your checkout. All right, Rob, man, we got some really good things that we're discussing today, and we're starting with Treylon Burks, rookie receiver, first-round pick, who's kind of the guy that's replacing A.J. Brown there in Tennessee, but he's kind of dealing with some asthma issues, and I've seen that pop up, and people talk about that a little bit. I personally don't deal with asthma. I have a big brother. He's had to deal with it, but how important do you think it is as it pertains to Treylon Burks and his future in the NFL? Because, you know, from the fantasy outlook, I've seen people starting to fade Treylon Burks a little bit. Do you think it's that big of a deal?
You know, I think it's obviously a health issue that has to be acknowledged. But at the same time, NFL teams were very much aware of Treylon Burks and his asthma issues, dating back to the combine and all of that. Tennessee Titans have already acknowledged that they knew about his asthma conditions. Let's be clear. I mean, there is a huge population in the United States and all around the world that deals with asthma. And I want to make sure that we recognize, again, just the seriousness of this issue. But at the same time, if you're a professional athlete and you understand how to deal with this issue, then you certainly can be successful. And Emmett Smith, who suffers from asthma, Jerome Bettis, who suffers from asthma, they obviously had a great deal of success in the NFL despite this condition. So it is a concern. The fact that Treylon Burks has not been able to kind of hit the ground running, because as you mentioned, I mean, the Tennessee Titans were very bold. I mean, trading away A.J. Brown, and you draft a guy who physically looks very similar as A.J. Brown, had obviously a great deal of success in the SEC, just the way that Brown did previously. I think that there's a lot of pressure on Burks and the Titans to be able to hit the ground running, so to speak. But you got to be able to breathe to be able to run. And so that's one of the things that I think that we are going to see a little bit of a transition for Treylon Burks. But ultimately, I think that this is going to be more about Treylon Burks and his mind and being able to kind of acclimate to Tennessee's offense, much more so than his lungs being able to breathe that Tennessee air.
Yeah, and part of it too is, you know, kind of being out, maybe missing some time during OTA and things like that. And there are a lot of people that kind of gloss over OTAs. You know, nothing that happens in OTAs matters to a lot of people, but I push back on that. You know, from my experience, there's a lot of learning that goes on during that process, and that gives a lot of rookies and guys at the bottom of the roster that are fighting for spots a chance to kind of go through the process in a much slower pace, especially for receivers. You know, those guys go from playing in an offense in college where a lot of it is you run the route that you're given. In the NFL, they have a lot of sight adjustments. So depending on the coverage, it can change the depth of your route. It can change your route entirely. And I remember being with the New York Jets and seeing a lot of my buddies that play receiver. Well, they're walking around with flashcards trying to learn. And when I'm just walking and going to get me a smoothie in the cafeteria, was it Jetway, whatever it was called. But, you know, in the New York Jets cafeteria, which was awesome, by the way, But, you know, they're having to study, and they can never turn their mind off because there was so much that went into playing the receiver position. So, you know, it's one thing to learn it from flashcards. It's another thing to get out there and do it. And if he has to miss time because of, you know, asthma and they're trying to get that under control, that could be something that could be a little problematic just with how fast he hits the ground running. Or, you know, depending on how well he can retain the information and maybe not have to go through something to learn, he might hit the ground running regardless.
No, exact type of talent. I mean, so I don't doubt that he is going to be very successful in his NFL career, and perhaps even as a rookie. And that's one of the other things that I would kind of mention about this is that the Tennessee Titans, of course, have an entire staff that's full of former NFL players, and not the least of which is the wide receiver position with Rob Moore. You mentioned the New York Jets. I mean, Rob Moore is one of those players that I kind of think about when I think of the New York Jets. And the fact that Rob Moore, as a former wide receiver, a very successful one at that, is Tennessee's wide receiver coach, he is going to be able to, you know, kind of, you know, put Treylon Burks under his wing, so to speak, be able to kind of help him, make that transition, just because of the fact that he is a former player himself. He is probably one of those players who was walking around with those flashcards, and so I think that that's going to help as well. And so to me, that's one of the things I'm kind of most excited about with Burks and his fit with the Tennessee Titans, is just because I do think that the offense sets up very nicely for what Burks is able to do. And then again, there's not quite the pressure on him, because just the way the Tennessee Titans offense obviously runs through the running game with Derrick Henry. And we know that the injuries that Henry struggled with a year ago, that's one of the reasons why that we saw Tennessee wide receivers, kind of explode statistically. Ryan Tannehill at the quarterback position as well a year ago. But I think once that the Titans kind of go back to feeding the ball to King Henry, being able to lob the ball over the top, that's where Burks and his speed, his physicality, his ability to make people miss in terms of wide receiver screens, things like that. I really think that Treylon Burks is going to wind up being very successful for the Titans overall, including as a rookie.
Yeah, and he has a game, too, that is not predicated on, you know, great routes and a ton of separation. He's a guy that can definitely win at the catch point, whether there's a body there or not. I think his run after catch is going to be something that he probably has to lean on a little bit more at this stage in his career in the NFL until he really figures out the game. Maybe they do some things to move him around where he's playing outside, playing in the slot. And I think playing in the slot would give him more advantageous situations, lining up against, you know, linebackers, maybe some nickel guys, but safeties as well. Those will all be to his advantage. We'll see if he's able to take care of those things. But coming up next, we want to talk to you about a few rookies, a couple in Green Bay and one in Pittsburgh, that are trying to push a veteran for playing time. But first, we want to talk to you a little bit about Blue Nile. And at BlueNile.com, you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating a custom engagement ring of your dreams or gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at the prices that you won't find at your traditional jewelry. Whether you are trying to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find a jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Build the engagement ring of her dreams and celebrate life's special moments with fine jewelry. No matter what you're looking for, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry at BlueNile.com, and Locked On the NFL Draft listeners get $50 off of purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. All right, use promo code Locked On. All right, that's promo code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, it ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging, so they won't know what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Here at Locked On NFL Draft, we want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And we also want to talk to you a little bit about a survey that we have going on. And it's an important favor that we need to ask you. All right, put together this survey so we can learn more about the listeners and what they want to listen to. What are their favorite things about the Locked On podcast? All right, this is your opportunity to tell us what you like and what you don't like. about the podcast. Go to LockedOnPodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes the survey, they can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. You know, to take our audience survey, go to LockedOnPodcast.com/survey. Thank you for your help. We started off talking about a receiver, kind of dealing with some things, and we'll see how he overcomes that. But you also have a couple of receivers over in Green Bay, two guys that were drafted fairly high. One was drafted pretty high. The other one, I actually might have more expectations for him than other people. But you have Romeo Dubs, drafted a little bit later, Christian Watson. All right, Christian Watson right now has been kind of pegged to be a starter. We're talking about a 6'4", 210-pound receiver that ran in the 4.3s, jumped out the building. He was a big play guy. I mean, consistently at North Dakota State, he was Trey Lance's big play guy, and he's been a big play guy ever since. He can be used in multiple ways, whether he's in the backfield. They lined him up at running back, so he looks like the big running back there. But a guy that you just want to figure out different ways to get the ball in his hands. How quickly do you think he'll be able to catch on and maybe push guys like Sammy Watkins or Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb? You know, how soon do you think he or Romeo Dubs out of Nevada will push those guys for some reps?
I think that both of these rookies are going to be pushing all the veterans in Green Bay's roster for reps very early on. I'm with you, Croc. I'm a big fan of Romeo Dubs. I thought that he was one of the real steals in this draft class falling into day three. You know, if he did not suffer the slight injury that he did at the Senior Bowl, then I really think that we'd be talking about a top 100 prospect. I think the Green Bay Packers got themselves an absolute steal. And, you know, anytime you are using the word steal and wide receiver and aligning that with Aaron Rodgers, then that is a scary, scary thought for anybody who, like yourself, is a defensive back. You know, and so I'm really excited about Romeo Dubs, but let's focus in on Christian Watson for a moment here. You know, when I had my opportunity to watch him at the Senior Bowl, same thing with Dubs, I was just so impressed by what he was able to do. And I watched the tape, you know, with Trey Lance, as you mentioned, 2 years ago, and then just this past season, and watching Watson, you know, I saw a guy that was moved all over the field, that did have incredible athletic ability despite, you know, a really big frame. Usually those are guys that cannot, you know, show much agility, much immediate acceleration the way that Watson does. And at the Senior Bowl, I was just so impressed by his route running and the way that he caught the ball. I mean, he plucked the ball out of the air. There were a couple of catches that he made where he really had to just show his body control along the sideline. And, you know, you mentioned the two veteran at the bigger receivers, the flanker split end positions that Green Bay, you know, obviously has to replace Devontae Adams. Alan Lazard is a guy who ran in the 4.7s. You know, and so if he's going to be your number one, he's not going to be the kind of guy that Aaron Rodgers has had a great deal of success with in the past. Not going to be that MVS. That's one of the reasons why I was kind of disappointed not that we're not having that conversation with Ryan Tracy today, because, and you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling signing with the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm curious to see how he is going to translate into their offense. We know that he was the big vertical threat in Green Bay. That's for something that I thought that Romeo Dubs really excelled at Nevada. And with Watkins, I just see a guy who can basically do it all. I think that he is the number one wide receiver in Green Bay. Not necessarily as a rookie. I think it's going to take some time. He's a rookie. I mean, he's a rookie, obviously, coming from Fargo, North Dakota, and going up against, you know, much weaker competition. But at the Senior Bowl, at the Combine, you mentioned just the athletic ability, jumping through the roof, everything that he did. To me, the work ethic, the size, the athletic ability. I mean, this is a kid who grew up in Florida. There are not many guys who are going to, you know, as a highly regarded prospect in Florida and then goes to North Dakota State. This isn't just some, you know, some other guy that no one saw coming. And he was a player that a lot of FBS programs were interested in. And so I'm really excited about what these two rookie wide receivers are going to be able to bring to the Green Bay Packers.
And one note I got from someone that's on hand at Green Bay Packers camp is fast. He may only have 40 catches this year, but it might be for over 800 yards. So this is a guy that they're probably going to count on to be a big play guy. And they've been kind of missing that speed. They had it with MVS. Lazard, more of a possession guy that can catch down the field, but not someone that you can count on to run away from players. There's another player that is prone to kind of push a starter for a spot, and this is Kenny Pickett, who was drafted in the first round by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you think there's a chance that he can push Mr. Trubisky out of the way? Now, Trubisky, and I think a lot of people just gloss over him. This is a guy that was the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft by the Bears. He actually has more success than people give him credit for. There were a couple playoff runs there. Not saying he was the reason, but he was a quarterback that was a part of that. And I know if you are, you know, a head coach like Mike Tomlin, you might be looking at it like, look, you know, be better than Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph, then we have a chance. Does Kenny Pickett have a chance to push Mitchell Trubisky out of there?
I'd be surprised. I really would. I mean, right now, you know, this is just going off of what the head coach, Mike Tomlin, you mentioned, the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada in Pittsburgh. I mean, both of them have basically said that at this point, with all due respect to Kenny Pickett and him being the only quarterback, of course, to go in the first round, you know, he is still clearly number 3 in the pecking order in terms of Pittsburgh's quarterbacks at this point. Mitch Trubisky is the number 1, and that's taken words right out of Tomlin and Canada's mouth. And then Mason Rudolph has a little bit of a head start because, of course, he has the experience in Matt Canada's scheme. And then you got Kenny Pickett. And I recognize that Kenny Pickett is playing in the same stadium in the same type of conditions that he did for the Pitt Panthers. But at the same time, I really thought that Kenny Pickett was a quarterback that has the mind, has the accuracy that you're looking for. At the same time, I've always questioned his pure arm strength. And again, those small hands, I think that is a concern. And so unless he just takes the world by fire during the OTAs, the mini camps and training camp, I think that he is going to walk into this upcoming season being Pittsburgh's number 3 quarterback, not even number 2. And I think that we are going to very likely, unless the Steelers season completely falls apart. And I would agree with you, Croc. I think that Mitch Trubisky is a better quarterback than people want to give him credit for. Not necessarily a Pro Bowl kind of a guy at this point, but let's think about what Ben Roethlisberger has been for the last couple of years for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, Big Ben played 18 years in the NFL. And while he was arguably a Hall of Famer for a great deal of that time, he was not the same guy these last couple of seasons. And yet Pittsburgh, other than this past season, was still very much a playoff type of team. And not just because of Big Ben, because of that defense, because of the running game. And so I think that if Trubisky plays just solid ball, not spectacular, just solid, then he is going to be the quarterback they're going to work around. And Kenny Pickett was more drafted for the future rather than for 2022.
Wow. We're going to talk about some future prospects next up, and we're going to have somebody join us. My guy, Ryan Tracy, he's here to join us to talk about this last segment on, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, how they had the best undrafted rookie free agent class. But first, we want to talk to you about the good folks over at Built Bar and how they now have the caramel brownie. All right, don't you love a chewy, chocolatey brownie? I know I do. I know my wife does. My kids do. They love it. All right, what about a caramel brownie with caramel swirled all over the top and how it's so good? What if I told you that you can get all of that chewy, chocolatey deliciousness plus 17 grams of protein? You can, right? And you are in luck because they have that with your caramel brownie Built Bar, and it's now available right now at built.com. Right now, you got to go act fast, though, because those things, I'm telling you, they go fast. Forget about dessert. These are better than dessert. Plus, the macros are unreal. 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar. I would replace, you know, a regular brownie with Built Bar, caramel brownie bar in a heartbeat. The best part, caramel brownies are covered with 100% real chocolate. Like, for real, real chocolate. I don't know how they do it, all right? And it's, you know, all the Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs much better and more efficiently, and it provides a ton of health benefits. There are a million reasons why that you should try Built Bars, but for right now, let's just say that the caramel brownie will rock your world. It definitely should be one of those. All right. With Built, tasty is the new healthy. Go to Built.com right now and get a box of caramel brownies right now. All right. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off of your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, coming in is my guy Ryan Tracy from Rogue Analytics, and also, of course, one of the hosts of Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On Chiefs. And we're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles now, and Rob loves their undrafted rookie free agent class. I mean, we've raved about just their draft class in general and how good of a job they did, you know, truly addressing some needs, being able to land A.J. Brown in that class. I definitely consider him part of that because they drafted him in the first round. But Rob is going to tell us why they also had the best undrafted rookie free agent class.
Yeah, I just think it's just sheer numbers, for one. I think that if you look at the just the number of prospects who most of us viewed as draftable guys that the Philadelphia Eagles were able to coax into town, then I think that that is certainly something that's exciting. You mentioned the veteran that the Philadelphia Eagles were able to acquire in A.J. Brown. We talked previously about Treylon Burks in Tennessee. You know, I think A.J. Brown has the size, the physicality that really complements the one thing that was kind of lacking at the wide receiver position for the Philadelphia Eagles, considering what they did the last couple of years with the speedsters in Rager, the just the all-around player, but slight player that is the former Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith. So, like, another receiver that I think makes an awful lot of sense just to kind of put into that package, a returner as well as be Britton Covey. You know, an interesting player. I mean, not a guy that anybody expected to be drafted, but I don't know that anybody who watched what Covey was able to do at Utah would be shocked at all if he winds up making an NFL roster. And that would be one of the things I'd have to say here, guys. It's not that I necessarily think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have five or six undrafted free agents make their roster. Howie Roseman has built too good of a roster. Nick Sirianni is doing too good of a job at head coach to have a whole bunch of undrafted free agents make the Eagles roster. I just think that these guys are going to wind up making rosters elsewhere. So again, Covey being one, the quarterback we've talked about before, you know, Carson Strong from Nevada. You know, he is another one that I'm a big fan of. The running back, Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma. I mean, we go back in time a couple of years ago, Kennedy Brooks was considered a top 100 prospect. So to me, the offense really looks loaded at the undrafted free agent positions. I mean, we just switch over to cornerbacks, and obviously, Croc, your opinion to me speaks so much louder than many, many others out there, including my own. But Josh Job from Alabama, Mario Goodrich from Clemson. I mean, both of those guys, undrafted free agents. One of my favorite smaller school guys. Talk about ball skills at the defensive back position. Reed Blankenship from Middle Tennessee State, a guy I got to watch up close at the East-West Shrine Bowl. And maybe my favorite one in terms of just pure talent, Noah Ellis. Gentlemen, I am telling you, this guy is a monster. Now, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, again, are loaded along the defensive line. We know that. One of their first-round selections they used in Jordan Davis. It's going to be hard for Noah Ellis to make that roster. But at the same time, I absolutely promise you that Noah Ellis is an NFL talent. It's just whether or not he has the work ethic to live up to that ability. But when you have a team as loaded as the Philadelphia Eagles are, I think that's going to be that proverbial carrot ahead of Noah Ellis that he needs to really take full advantage of his potential. So I think there's a lot of really good undrafted free agent classes this year, guys. I don't think that anybody did a better job than the Philadelphia Eagles in the UDFA class this year.
I like Noah Ellis. And folks, I just landed from Hotlanta, and Desmond Ridder agrees with everything you guys were saying about Pickett. So well done. I like Noah Ellis so much that I look very, very forward to him being the last guy cut from that roster. And when he lands in Kansas City, everyone will be happy, at least on my end. I think Covey could be their return guy too. Like, I think that's a legitimate possibility. So I really like that placement as well. And I have nothing to contradict you about anything that you had to say about Philly, but I will just put this out there. When you look down the list in one other town of Alec Lindstrom, Marquise Bell, the hard-hitting safety, Dontario Drummond, the Dallas Cowboys have a heck of a UDFA class, and they might have guys make the roster. Isaac Taylor Stewart, I think, is a really nice dark horse at the corner spot that could make that roster. Like, I really like what they did. Malik Davis, I think people like as well. Like, you can always use another running back in that town, right? So, like, I would just say that I love what Philly did, but I also think that Dallas did probably nearly as good a job in giving themselves options to fill a couple of spots that they need some help with.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to hear who maybe some of your favorite undrafted rookie free agent signings were for whether it was your team or another team. Before we get out of here, Ryan, Rob did have a question. You want to know how MBS is doing with Kansas City?
You know, actually, they're really happy with him this week. I actually just had a conversation this afternoon about the fact that they've asked him to do some things they hadn't seen on tape, and they're very happy with the progress of what he's shown so far. Like, adapting that offense is going to be a challenge. But I think they've gotten everything that they bought, and they're hoping to get a little bit of extra value. And so far, so good.
So far, so good. That's probably something that the rest of the NFL does not want to hear, especially when you have Patrick Mahomes being able to throw the ball downfield to a 6'4 receiver who runs a 4'3. That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On NFL Draft. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And for your second and third and fourth listeners of the day, we got Locked On Seahawks, we have Locked On Chiefs, and we have Locked On 49ers. But until next time, we'll see y'all. We're out. Peace.